All right. Let's pray before we start this morning. Lord, thank you that your word guides us, that it is your revelation to us, that we know who you are, we know what you have called us to do, how you've called us to live, the salvation you give us through Jesus. We know all of that through your revealed word. And we believe that your word is truth. We believe that your Holy Spirit will help us understand that truth. And so I would pray this morning that you would do that, that with this topic that is so prevalent in society, you would help us to see the truth of your word and to see how that relates then in how we live, how we minister, how we talk, how we love those who are bound by lies. And so, Lord, this morning, would you please guide us in your word? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some people would say I'm not that old. But the older I get, the more I feel like my age. So I'm a whole whopping 51 years old. Okay, so I love students who say, hey, Ben, you look like you're 35. I love you. I might give you a dollar or something for that. But, okay, I'm not. But in the last 25 years, we've seen a tremendous amount of change, right? I'm old enough, I still remember when you could go to the gate of the airport and drop somebody off, okay? That you could greet somebody when they come off the plane, okay? But 25 years ago, that changed, right? 2001, we realized our country is not as safe and secure as we thought it was. Okay, the terrorists killed thousands of people in the September 11 attacks. Okay, and security forever in this country changed. And since that time, there's been these intense debates over the line between privacy and self-expression. What does that look like? Social media has exploded, and we now have more information than ever before. The question is not do we have enough information, but what do we do with the information we have? I think it's contributed to political divisions. I think it's contributed to rhetoric, okay, that has become increasingly hateful. COVID separated our communities like never before, okay, and we're still feeling its effects. In 2015, there was a huge Supreme Court case that decided that gay and lesbian couples were protected in all 50 states. You might remember this picture. Alex, can I get... You might remember that picture from the White House. Okay, is how the Obama administration celebrated that gay and lesbian couples can now be married in all 50 states. Okay. These relationships were legally recognized and given equal rights with traditional family structures. And this caused an explosion, I don't know if you remember this, but an explosion of transgender propaganda on TV, internet, and the movies. Okay? All of a sudden, there were transgender couples on sitcoms, on cartoons, as major movie characters. It was all over the place. Okay? It was almost like the transgender movement was just waiting. They had compiled all their resources, and once the decision fell, I mean, it changed incredibly quickly. This morning, I would like to explore the topic of transgenderism and answer some important questions from the scriptures. Can a person change from male to female or from female to a male? Can that happen? How do we as believers respond to people who are unsure about their gender? How do we talk to our children about gender issues? Okay, these are just a few of the important questions. There's so many more. Okay, and each one of these, I mean, we could talk about for hours. Okay, so in 30 minutes, I can't do justice to the questions, but I at least want to bring the Bible to bear, okay, on some of them. Okay. And so that will guide our discussion this morning. So I think the first thing we have to do when discussing transgenderism is to define the terms. What is it? Okay? For me, I realized I couldn't even define what that word meant. Okay? And so it's important for us to do that. Okay? So, in this context, in this discussion, sex or biological sex is used, when it's used, it refers to the physical characteristics, okay, the genitalia that are present at birth, which identify a child as a boy or a girl. It's the physical, biological anatomy. Okay? That is what's defined as sex or biological sex. Gender and gender identity is a psychological belief. Okay, it's something that people think. It's how a person perceives him or herself. Okay? Now, it used to be that these two terms were one and the same. Sex and gender. If you were born a man, you were male. If you were born a female, a girl, you were female gender. Okay, those two terms are not synonymous anymore. The biggest thing that's happened is a separation. You can be biologically a boy or a girl, but you may believe you are the opposite or something different. Okay? Right now, there are 72 recognized genders, if you didn't know that. Okay? So, it all comes down to what a person feels. And the feelings have become more authoritative than the biology. Okay? And so what's happening now is instead of biology informing what gender people are having hormone therapy and sex reassignment surgeries to make their body fit how they feel. Okay? So some important terms there. A couple others. Gender dysphoria. Now, that's a technical word, but this is when someone experiences distress, inner anguish, or discomfort from sensing a conflict between their gender identity and their biological sex. They have not acted on it, but they feel this disconnect. Okay? I am biologically a man, but I feel like a lady. Okay? And vice versa. Okay? It's that confusion. Okay? But transgender is really an umbrella term. It refers to someone who acts on this conflict, this feeling of disconnect between his or her biological sex and their felt gender. Okay, so gender dysphoria is sensing or feeling the conflict. Transgenderism is acting on that conflict. Does that make sense? Okay? No. Most cases when someone has what's called gender dysphoria, they don't ask for it, okay? It's not something that they trigger among themselves, it's something that is a struggle that is very real to them, okay? It's not something a person can just get over. It's not something they can ignore. It's an ongoing struggle, okay? Transgenderism refers to everything from people cross-dressing, okay, a female dressing like a male and so forth, okay, to acting it out. Sorry, I lost my page here. To someone having hormonal therapy, sex reassignment surgery, things like that, where they try to bring their body in line with their belief, okay, of what gender they are. Now, the person who really popularized this was actually an Olympic champion, Bruce Jenner. Okay? He won the decathlete at the Montreal Olympics in 1976. He is recognized as the best male athlete on the planet. Okay? Bruce always felt like he was a lady trapped in a man's body. And so in 2015, in an interview, TV interview with Diane Sawyer, he came out and said, let me make sure I get this right, I believe I am a woman. Okay, he claimed to have been living a lie for the past 30 years. Now he was coming clean. A few months later, Bruce changed his name to Caitlin. This is a picture of the same person. Okay, Caitlin Jenner He appeared on the front page of the cover of Vanity Fair magazine with the title, Call Me Caitlin, Dressed in Women's Lingerie, a very sexual, very female sexual pose. That image went worldwide, okay? And he was the poster person for this transgender movement, okay? So, for believers in Jesus, the shift toward transgenderism moved at light speed, and it is still moving at light speed, okay? TV shows, movies highlight transgender characters. It's amazing. You get online on a Christian resource site, and it gives you the list of movies and TV characters and cartoons that feature transgender characters. I mean, it's amazing, the list. It's depressing, actually. The TV shows, they highlight these. Justice for transsexual individuals became the hot button issue. It's people who spoke out against it, if you remember this, were fired. Teachers were fired all over the country because they refused to give in, they refused to agree with that lifestyle. Questions of what pronouns should be used. Do we call Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner a he or a she? What do we do? Yeah, now they've come up with other pronouns. Z is how you're supposed to use, is the pronoun for a transgender individual. Do you use that? Do you not? Okay, those questions. For centuries, male and females were the only options. Facebook, if you get on Facebook, they give you the option of 58 different genders now. You can decide between. So in culture's mad rush to accept all things transgender, believers in Jesus, we need to pause and regain a biblical perspective. We need to ask the question, what does the Bible say about this? Okay? And that's what I'd like to do next. Well, when a person refuses the truth of God, he or she becomes the source of truth and believes that they have the authority to act on that truth. Truth is whatever I make it. Okay? Whatever I feel must be the truth. However, we saw 2 weeks ago that the Bible claims that truth doesn't come from an individual or person, it comes from God himself. Genesis 1:1 tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, right? And as the creator, he has the authority to rule over his creation. Genesis 1:31 says this, when he had finished creating, God took a step back, as it were, and nodded. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. He created things the way he wanted them to be. Okay? He didn't look back at regret and say, no, I should have done this differently or not. How he made things was very good. They were perfect. Okay? Now, just a few verses before this, before this statement of the goodness of creation, we read about the creation of Adam and Eve. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, there's several truths here that are really, really important. The first one is this. Human beings are made in the image of God. Okay, we are the only being in all of creation who this is said about. Okay? No other animal, no other creature is made in the image except for us. This means that we have intrinsic value. Not value according to what we do. It's not pragmatic or practical value. But we have value because we are made in God's image. Which means every aspect of who we are reflects the image of God. Our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. This means that our bodies matter. We didn't receive our bodies by random chance. It was intentionally given by God to each person. Okay? That's important. Now, because we were created by God, God has the authority to speak to his creations and lay out for us the best way to live. Being creations means that we cannot recreate ourselves in any fashion or form that we desire. Okay, or by the simple act of the will or a complex work of a surgeon. Okay? As Andrew Walker says, when we as creatures reject the Creator's blueprint, we are both rebelling against the natural order of how things objectively are, and we are rejecting the life that is going to be the highest good for us. Okay? As I'll make the case a little bit later. Okay? We cannot change our gender. Okay? We can only change our appearance. Okay? It's important. Genesis 1:27, we see the second truth. That God's design for humanity is to be one of two genders, male and female. Okay? You just read this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If we flip over to Genesis 2, we get Genesis 2 is really a close-up picture of Adam and Eve. We see this starting in verse 20. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Remember, he's naming all the animals. So all the animals are coming to him, and he cannot find a suitable helper. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said this, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The truth is this. Maleness and femaleness, according to the Bible, are not artificial psychological categories. The differences between men and women reflect the creative intention of being made in God's image. Okay. The third truth is this. A man and a woman are different from each other. They are different from each other but equal. They are intentional but not interchangeable. Okay. Each man and woman are created biologically different for each other. Okay. And when they physically come together, children can be conceived. How do we know this? How do we know this was God's intention? Genesis 1:26. God commands Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Okay? That is why God designed male and females. Okay? For one of the reasons is to have children, to propagate the earth, to have descendants. Okay? That can only happen in a sexual union between a man and a woman. Okay? However, there are some that try to break these boundaries. Okay, I don't know if you remember this, but in 2016, an issue of Time magazine featured an article or an essay by Jesse Hempel that tells the story of her brother Evan giving birth to a son. Okay, did you get that statement? Okay. Her brother Evan gave birth to a son. Now, I didn't put his picture up here because it was a little too graphic, but that should catch you off guard. But when you read the essay, when you read the story, you realize several things. Evan was a biological female until she transitioned to be a man at age 19. However, she still wanted to give birth, which she did at age 35. She looked like a man. If you see a picture of Evan, she looks like a man. But she gave birth and actually breastfed her child. Okay? That is not how God designed things to be. Okay? If she felt like a, if he felt like a woman and had the anatomy changed, she couldn't give birth. You cannot have both and. You cannot be a man and give birth, which is the privilege of a lady. Okay? It just doesn't work. Okay? Switching from a man to a woman, or vice versa, and or continually moving between the two. Pangenderism, genderism, agenderism. Okay? There are people who would say, I'm a boy today, I'm a girl tomorrow, I have boyfriends, girlfriends, all the same. Gender can be fluid for some. Okay? That goes against God's design for creation. God created human beings as male and female. And to go against God's design is sin. Okay? It is disobedience to God's authority and how he defined men and women to be. Okay? It's going this route is choosing ourselves as the authority instead of God. In Romans chapter 1, 19 to 21, the Apostle Paul tells us that God's design is not simply for believers, but for the entire human race. Okay, he says this, what can be known about God is plain to them, to unbelievers, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Everyone is obligated to accept the truth of how God designed the world, regardless whether they're Christians or not. The God's design does not simply apply to those who are his followers. It applies to everyone. Okay? God designed people, male and female. Because of this, the Bible says that a man who thinks of himself as a woman cannot be a woman despite what his mind tells him. This is so because a man's body identifies his sex and his gender. Okay? Conversely, a woman who thinks of herself as a man cannot be a man because her body identifies her as a woman. The Bible doesn't recognize the separation between a person's sex and their gender. For God, they are one and the same, stemming from biology. Okay? This modern notion of separating sex from biological sex from gender is not present in Scripture. Okay? Nowhere in Scripture do we get any sense at all that God approves of this. In fact, we find just the opposite. Okay? So, what does this mean? Okay? I want to give you six things that I think it means. Okay? First, means this. This truth means that individuals who are struggling with a conflict between their biological sex and their gender, but are not acting on this internal conflict, okay? They feel the disconnect, but they're not acting upon it. I don't believe they're sinning. That's temptation, okay? We are tempted all the time. The temptation itself is not the sin. Acting on the temptation is the sin, okay? So if there are people, and there may be people in here, there's definitely people in our community who struggle with this internal conflict. My body says I'm this, but I feel different, okay? They are being tempted, but not sinning. They are being tempted to embrace a transgender lifestyle, but have not given in. What they need is us to recognize their struggle and support them. Yeah, to help them understand how God created them to be. What does it look like to be male and female? Okay. And this is a very awkward conversation for many of us because we just assume that to be true. How do we help? How do we support someone who is suffering with this confusion? Okay? But I think that's important. Okay, this distinction between having those feelings and acting upon it. Second, the truth that God doesn't separate sex and gender, and that he created humans as male and female, means that those who have given in to a transgender lifestyle are being lied to by Satan and have believed those lies and have acted upon them. Okay? That is sin. But I want to be careful here because we don't know the lies they've believed. Yes, what they are doing is sin. It is a sinful lifestyle. But each transgender person has a different story. Some have abuse in their history, others were bullied and harassed at school, others felt like they didn't fit in. Okay. So I don't think we should see transgender people as enemies, which is, for many Christians, what we want to see. Okay. I don't think they're enemies, but I think they're confused souls in need of a Savior. They need the great healer to reconcile their mind with their bodies. And I think that means we listen before we accuse. People who are transgender need Jesus. They have this conflict in their mind, okay, between their body and how they feel. Who can reconcile that? Jesus can. Okay? They're not the enemy, they are confused. Okay? And that's an important difference. Third, because transgenderism is a sin, it is right to stand against policies that promote and support transgender causes. In public school, okay? If your child is in a class where they're going to do sex education and it's transgender-based sex education, it is right and appropriate as a believer to stand against that, okay? Policies on a state or a federal level. That is, it is right to do that. Because transgenderism goes against God's design for each person. Okay? We can love and minister to each transgender person while at the same time standing against such a lifestyle. It's possible to do both. Okay? That's number three. Number four is this. I think we should welcome those who are struggling with their gender dysphoria into our church community. These are those who have the conflict, but who are not acting upon it. Okay? I think they should be welcome. They need love, support, and biblical guidance as they struggle. If we don't offer it, where are they going to get it? Okay? We're the ones who have the truth. We're the ones who God has revealed, okay, this is how male and females are to be. If we have that and we know that, why wouldn't we share it? Okay? I think that's very appropriate. Number five, I really believe we need to teach our own children. Okay? Help them understand at age-appropriate levels what transgenderism is and what the Bible says about it. Okay? What does it mean? Okay? They should be able to disagree with a student who is transgender or who is thinking about it. They should be able to respect them as a person. Okay? Disagree with them, but respect them without making fun of them or making coarse jokes. And this one, this is a pet peeve of mine. Okay? I see students all the time who are Christian, who make coarse jokes about people who are transgender, homosexual, all the other time. And it bites me to the core. Okay? That is not helpful. That's fostering our hatred. That's fostering our dislike. We can disagree. Yes, absolutely disagree. But do not demean them. Love them. See them as confused. See them as needing Jesus. Okay? A lot of students turn to thinking about transgenderism in junior high and high school, okay? For various reasons. There's statistics that say all sorts of things. But that's the key age, junior high or high school, okay? How are you going to treat somebody, a classmate, okay, a friend in town, who struggles with this, okay? We need to teach our children what it is and how to respond to them, okay? Without ridiculing, without demeaning them, okay? You know, it's interesting, Andrew Walker gives this challenge, and I struggle with this, so I throw it out for you for your consideration, because I don't know if I could do it. He says, compassion does not mean approval, but neither does compassion mean silence. Compassion says, I'm so sorry you are experiencing deep inner anguish about your gender. I cannot fathom the types of struggles you experience, but I would like to listen to you and I would like to be here for you. I'm sorry for any hurt or rejection you've encountered from others, and I want you to know I am your friend and will walk with you through the valleys of your struggles. I want you to know I may not agree with you, but I will never look down on you. You are loved. That is compassion, okay? To disagree, but to love. Okay? Number six, pray for your child's gender identity, okay? And this is important, and I think it's something we don't often pray about, okay? But pray that your children will love and embrace being a young man or a young lady. Okay? They were born a boy or a girl, and we think they will, that's just who they are. Okay? There are so many forces and so many people who will try to get them to believe otherwise. Okay? Pray for this. Pray that they will love being a young man or a young lady. Okay? I think that's so important. Okay. But I want us to remember and be careful of this, of stereotyping. Okay. Remember, not all men love football, four-wheelers, and guns. Okay. And they're not weird for not liking those things. Okay. Sometimes we stereotype a young man into a corner, and sensitive, music-loving young men who are artistic and good in the kitchen feel left out. Okay? They're just as male as the ones who shoot guns. Okay? They're just different. But we think all men need to be able to do this. If you're not, are you transgender? Do you have female? Oh, God makes men different. Okay? Some men are great chefs. That's okay. Okay? With Drew and Sam, he's the cook. He cooks every night. Does that make him a lady? No, it just makes him a good chef. Okay? So let's be careful how we stereotype men. Ladies. It's often true, always true for young women. Not all ladies like makeup, stylish clothes, and playing with younger children and cooking. Some can be as rough as boys and are lucky to make a grilled cheese sandwich without burning it. But they're still ladies, okay? We have this stereotype in our mind of what a man and a woman should be. Is that biblical or not? Okay? I think we do need to be careful with that. So, help your boys love being a man, but recognize that a man may not be somebody who shoots guns and rides four-wheelers all the time. Help your ladies, your young girls, to love being girls, okay? In whatever that means, whether they're rough and tumble or whether they're dainty and love fancy clothes, okay? But let them love being the gender God has made them to be. I think that's really, really important, okay? So I cannot do justice at all to this issue, but I did want to show from Scripture that God created people as male and female. There are two genders that equate with two biological sexes, and that is how God created people. The idea that you can move from one to the other is foreign to Scripture. Okay? But hopefully I've also given you things to think about of how do we respond to others and how do we What are some things we need to do for our own families? So I hope this prompts some discussion among your families. If you didn't get a sermon outline or notes, they're in the back. But I hope that this is helpful. Lord, thank you for this morning, for your word. There is so much here to talk about, but I pray, Lord, just in this little bit, that what I'm sharing has been biblical. Lord, if it is not, then please strike it from our memories. If it is, then please help us to ponder it, think about it. What does it mean? So Lord, I trust that your Spirit will guide and lead and cause us to recognize truth and to challenge us or convict us on things we need to change. So I give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand as we close our service together.